Start up your weekend right here on B&E. It's a Friday. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. We're all over it. We're getting you ready for what promises to be another exciting football weekend. It started last night with another great game in the NFL. Great finish. Last play of the game, just like two of the first three primetime games have in the week one. So we're off in week two. We've also got high school action from last night and a great game. How about the LBJ Jaguars? LBJ.
Nice win.
On the road at Liberty Hill, the third-ranked team in the state in 4A. LBJ went up to Liberty Hill and beat them in a great game. 41-34 was the final. I think Liberty Hill threw two passes in the game, which, speaking of not running the football, Liberty Hill still runs the ball with that running offense, run-based offense that they have. But a good win for LBJ. They have a chance, I think, when I listen to our show that follows ours, Flex ATX and Craig and Jeff on Light the Tower Buck, I think LBJ could be a state champion in the 4A level. They made a statement last night with that win, third-ranked in the state right now.
It's been a minute. That'll be great.
That would be cool. So good stuff right there. You've got a high school game tonight.
I do.
Most of the district that Lake Travis plays in is off this weekend, taking a bye, Westlake included. But Lake Travis will play down in San Marcos.
And who knows after last week. They need a breather. They've started out with three really – it's like playing three playoff games. So this has been fun so far this year, getting ready for conference play. That's good for Lake Travis. They like to do that. That's what Coach Carter likes to do.
Yeah, Zay's Bowie Bulldogs are off tonight. Part of that, most of the district being off.
And, dogs are on fire.
Dogs are 3-0. Also tonight, Vandegrift with a big game. They'll play Stony Point. So we've got our high school coverage coming as we launch your football weekend on Fridays.
Yeah, I'm excited about some of the...
By the way, San Marcos, the facilities there are as good as any you'll
be at. Dude, that is a beautiful... That's a new high school, new facility over on the east side in San Marcos.
Phenomenal.
It's gorgeous. It's a great stadium to watch a game in.
I played several baseball tournaments there when my son was in high school.
And saw the baseball fields right from
it's all right there, man. And they're all, artificial surfaces. Mm-hmm. So you got softball, baseball, the football stadium's right there. It's just a really, really nice complex they have in San Marcos as that community grows. That's as good as it gets out there in Central Texas, I believe. But have fun with that tonight in San Marvelous, as we like to call it.
Lots going on. Lots of good college football this weekend. It's not just, of course, there's Texas and Rice. You got to watch that. You're going to be a part of that. But the Penn State-Auburn game, Florida. Ooh. Florida and Alabama, West Virginia, Virginia Tech,
ooh.
Michigan State, Miami. That may be the game. If Michigan State beats Miami, you maybe see the end of their head coach in Miami. They may have had enough.
They're going to pull the plug on Man Candy?
Well, by the end of the year, because he'll end up losing three games eventually, or four games. Their expectations.
They're favored by a touchdown over the Spartans.
Yeah. Sparty may have an upset.
Okay.
Upset in there somewhere. North Carolina, Virginia is another good game.
Yeah, and I think Virginia has a good chance there. That's an improved team for Bronco Mendenhall. Not ranked, but of course, Mac Brown's team. So, to suffer that loss to Virginia Tech to start the season as a top 10 team. I'm interested. You got to stay up late to see it tomorrow night. But Oklahoma State going to Boise State.
Yes.
That is
a late nighter, isn't it?
That is.
And Notre Dame-Purdue should be a good game.
Yeah, and I'll be watching Cincinnati. That may be one of my gold star picks is Cincinnati at Indiana. We'll see. I don't know if it's four is enough. I don't know if Indiana can play. I know they're a Big Ten team, but Cincinnati looks like a Big Ten team.
They do.
When they roll into town, that'll be a fun game, too. So college football weekend on tap. Let's start the hour with the headlines. News of the morning. If you didn't stay up for the end, it was another good one in the NFL. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, another great finish to the NFL. Kicking off week two, Washington and their backup quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, leading the way. He threw for 336 yards and two touchdowns last night. But most importantly, he led the Washington football team on a drive in the closing minutes that led to a 43-yard game-winning field goal made by Dustin Hopkins to give the football team the 30-29 win over the rival New York Giants on Thursday Night Football. Now, Hopkins missed a 48-yard field goal with 5 seconds left, but Giants defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence jumped off sides ahead of it. That pushed it up 5 yards, gave him another chance, and he made the 43-yarder. That was one of 11 penalties for the G-men, who fall to 0-2 for the fifth consecutive season. Washington is 1-1. NFL full weight slate coming up Sunday, including the Texans off to that 1-0 start. They're on the road against Cleveland, almost a 2-touchdown underdog in that game. Cowboys on the road as well. They'll play the late afternoon window, 3:25 in L.A. against the L.A. Chargers. Of course, playing without DeMarcus Lawrence in that game, without Randy Gregory. They will have Zach Martin back at right guard, but no Lael Collins at right tackle. Kane kicks at 3:25. You'll hear it right here on the horn. tomorrow, of course, on the Horn, the Longhorns back at DKR looking to rebound from their humbling loss at Arkansas this past Saturday. They host the Rice Owls after practice yesterday. Head coach Steve Sarkisian said he's been pleased with the week of work, said they've been intense, intentional, and focused on getting improvement in all phases. We'll hear from Coach Sark here coming up. Junior quarterback Casey Thompson, of course, will make his first ever start for the Longhorns in that game. Baseball last night, Astros clobber the Rangers 12-1 in Arlington. They take 3 out of 4 in that final Lone Star Series there between the Astros and Rangers. Houston's leading the AL West now at 7 games with 16 to play. It's magic number time for Houston. Their magic number to clinch their fourth division title in 5 years stands at 10. Round Rock topped Oklahoma City last night in OKC 6-5.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
It says, go Cornhuskers. Yeah, Cornhuskers at Norman tomorrow to play Oklahoma.
Upset special or no? No way?
Not for me. I mean, I'm not going there. I'm just wondering, can they keep it within the 22 points?
Really? I think so.
I mean, Oklahoma's not been ultra-impressive yet. Obviously, no. They... you know, survived Tulane in week one. They played Western Carolina out of the FCS level last week. So this will be a step up for them as far as the class. But at the same time, what is Nebraska right now for Scott Frost?
I think if you've been watching college football, when you saw Nebraska get beat by Illinois, then you thought Illinois was something special. Now they've lost 2 in a row, looking terrible. And I mean, and looking bad at it.
UTSA got them.
Yeah, UTSA got them is right.
Well, Scott Frost after that game admitted that they got out coached. Like they went in with one. They prepared wrong. They guessed wrong on what Brett Bielema, the new head coach at Illinois, game plan would be, how they would try to attack them, and you know, they didn't adjust in time, and they lost the game. And Illinois really pounded the rock at them, ran the football like crazy with 4 different running backs. So we'll see. I mean, that's one not a lot of people are giving Nebraska a chance in, but as we, our guest yesterday from BetUS, our man
Barry?
Barry from BetUS, another classic interview with Barry. He said he grew up in Nebraska, and he said, don't sleep on the Huskers. Don't sleep on the Huskers. A lot of emotion in
that
game.
Sure, Barry wasn't sleeping on us yesterday?
I believe we woke him up.
Sound like we did.
No, you know, he was fine. But BetUS is the place you need to be, Buck. Yeah,
There's no doubt, man.
I took a hit last night on BetUS because I took the Washington football team.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I
took him -3.
We took Heineke. You know, Zay talked us into Heineke, and we fell for that, and the line was 4 and 3. And
there it is.
We fell for
it. Blaming Zay again.
So BetUS, if you're going to – you know what? If we'd have taken the advice of Barry – we probably would have won, but we took the advice
of Zay. He
didn't
give us advice. He asked us.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay, 25 years of service. BetUS, of course, do it. Whether it's baseball, basketball, football, MMA, horse racing, esports, you get all kinds of crazy bets. And, you know, Barry even yesterday talked about the in-game betting that a lot of guys aren't and gals aren't used to. They'll help you every step of the way because that can be confusing if you don't know what you're doing in that. And, as Barry said, they'll do it, and they've been doing it for 25 years. Great service by BetUS. And as I said, every step of the way, it's important. If you're putting your coin down, you want to know what's going on. You can't take the word of people like Isaiah back there. So
yeah, it's 1-800-79-BETUS, online at BetUS.com. Use promo code HORN and get up to 200% off your first deposit. Hey, Buck, so if you stumbled into the monkey conversation at the end of the last hour, a lot of people asking, what the heck, why are we talking about monkeys?
Yeah.
I mentioned that last week in Fayetteville, before the Arkansas game, I met
Mrs. Banks.
Mrs. Banks, Jeff.
Yes.
Banks, the special teams coach at Texas, wife, Danny Banks. She was there with a group, and that's where she revealed that she has a monkey. And now I've gone to social media, and indeed on her Twitter account, she has a picture of her monkey, Gia.
Driving a car. Gia.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sitting in her lap on the car. Not
sitting
driving
her,
the car.
Okay, actually, yeah.
It's kind of clever.
Wheel.
It says, you know, all gas, no brakes kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
With the monkey. So, yes. So, that just for clarity, that's where people are, why are you guys talking about monkeys? But now you want a monkey, and you want to have Danny Banks on the show to talk about her pet monkey so you know more about...
Well, I do.
How it's like having a pet.
Every kid wants a pet monkey, like a pet pony. Some kids want a pony. I want a monkey, and because I'm still a kid. And the two kittens that I've been trying to raise to be outdoor kittens, that thing is getting old. That litter box and all that stuff. But if I walked up in this building with a pet monkey, then it's not on my shoulder, just like walking beside me on the elevator. How cool would that
be? Funny.
Would that be so cool? A monkey has got to be good. But that monkey she has, that thing's a little, I want to talk bad about somebody's monkey, about a lady's monkey.
I don't really know how big it is. I know you're saying it's bigger than you, but she's a tiny little. She's like maybe 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
From my when I met her.
Okay.
So she's not very big, and so the monkey maybe looks a little bigger because she's like a very petite person.
Right.
I don't know.
That monkey's hands are big, big enough to grab, you know, places when the monkey gets mad because you know where they go for first. I've seen that on, you know, Naked and Afraid. They do. Monkeys do. They understand how to live in the wild and protect themselves. They know what to grab.
Yeah,
they're wild. So,
I'm just saying.
It's better than some of these, you know, these people bring these dogs on up in here.
Let's have her on the show first so we can learn about it before you go invest in a monkey because it could lead to a problem for you at home. Just saying. Is your wife on board with a monkey?
I don't know about a monkey in a kitchen.
How's it going to do with her dog and her cats?
Oh, that stupid little dog. She's not around. But yeah, that little silly dog will go absolutely out of its mind. But all that monkey has to do is slap that dog one time, whack, right upside the head, and that dog will behave. That's, you know, when those kittens get to be big enough, and they give them that one scratch on the nose, and then the dog says, oh, okay, we know who the boss is now.
Our cat has left many a...
scratch marks?
No, like a what are they, the nail? The claw in my son's dog's nose, like right on the snout.
Oh,
like
really?
Oh, yeah. That nail, that claw will stick right in the king.
Big ass cat.
She mean.
You got a mountain lion?
She mean. No, she.
Yeah, that's.
Fergie is not. Don't mess with her. Just
but
saying.
It's better, you know, to
she
come up in this building and see me come in that elevator and people see me with that monkey standing beside me. I bet you people just be really, really quiet. They won't say anything. You bring a dog, it's like, oh, isn't the dog cute? But, dude, a monkey, people don't mess with a monkey, I would believe.
That's unique.
Yeah, we need to have her on. We need to talk about this monkey.
She said she would. She said she'd jump on with us and tell, you know.
Does that monkey bathe?
I don't know anything about it.
If I did a tubby time with my CBD oil, would the monkey get in the tub with me?
These are all things you can ask her when I arrange that. I have to go through intermediaries to make that happen. She said she would come on, though.
I just don't want to be, clawed, but I don't. I just can't trust that.
Let's go into your coaching.
Dude, that monkey's huge, though. Doesn't that monkey look, Zay, does that monkey look big? With those big...
No, not at all.
It doesn't?
It's a tiny little thing.
Tiny, small monkey. It looks like the monkey from Hangover 2 that was selling the cocaine.
That's a cocaine monkey.
You guys are a mess, man, with this monkey.
Really?
Hey, let's dive into our coach's corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Our buddy Tom McKay, he does not have a monkey, but he will set up any and all audiovisual needs you have. Home theaters, home sports watching, 4 TVs, 3 TVs, whatever you need. They do the sports bars all over town. They can certainly make your house the place to be. avconsultations.com. Hey, Buck, the coach's corner. Let me just mention,
sure.
I did take it in the seat with the BetUS with Washington last night. I took the 3.5 points. Or laid them and lost. They won the game by a point. I'm still waiting for this alleged great Washington defense to show up.
They look bad in the beginning.
And this is where I'll give Jason Garrett, everybody's favorite, Jason Garrett, old red.
Yeah.
And his work with Daniel Jones. I mean, this was a team that they had Saquon Barkley active last night, but he didn't do much. They gave him 13 carries. He had 40 yards.
And one of them was a long run, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had one long run. But they're being very careful with him, bringing him back from that reconstructed knee, and that's probably very smart of them.
Did you see his body?
Oh, he's freaky.
I'm like, what? There ain't nothing wrong with that knee.
But Daniel Jones is the story, right? They lost this game, but Daniel Jones on the road against a very good team, or allegedly a very good defense, went up and down the field. He had 340 of their 390 total yards, either throwing or running. He's really got a relationship going with Sterling Shepard, the receiver out of Oklahoma. Kept hitting him, and boy, it felt like this was a game the Giants were going to win throughout the course of the night. And in the end, their own penalties were very, very costly. And the biggest one was the 5-yard penalty. But
no, I'm not impressed with Washington's defense so far.
Yeah,
not at all.
And I was impressed with, and this is kind of a pivot to the Longhorns. I mean, that offensive. One of the reasons I took the Washington football team last night and at BetUS. Was I watched the Giants last week play the Broncos, and their offensive line couldn't block you. I mean, they couldn't block, and they couldn't do anything. They scored 13 points, but a lot of that came late. They could not move the ball against Denver. Maybe that speaks a little bit more to what Vic Fangio has going on in Denver on that side of the ball.
Like that team, yes.
But they just looked inept at home. They were getting booed off the field because they were so bad. So you're thinking, well, now 4 days later, they're going to show up in Washington and play against this group. I know division teams know each other better. They're more familiar with personnel. But their offensive line got a lot better from week 1 to week 2. And as we mentioned, they even lost the guy to the gruesome foot, you know, leg injury in the first quarter. And they still held up pretty darn well in that game.
They did.
And gave themselves a chance to win. But the Giants, the Washington wins it on the last second field goal, 30-29.
Dude, that guy jumped off a side.
Dexter Lawrence,
that was
yeah.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it was.
You're talking about lack of concentration. That cost you a game.
It did. He did.
It cost them the game.
Because from 48 yards, Dustin Hopkins was wide right. Move it up 5 yards and 43 yards. It went, you know, banged it through. You're right. I mean, that's one that, you know, he'll be stewing on. You only get 17 of them.
Yeah, I got to ask Quan or you know, BJ and those guys. I mean, you know, do you get fined? I mean, the team's fine when you do stupid things. I know they fine you, like they fine you for weird stuff like being late.
You can't fine for
Can't fine a player for no. being doing no, something
against,
like that.
That's against the CBA.
Okay. All right.
No, that's just a mistake. I mean, it's just a mistake.
Well, don't make any. Don't do that. Don't jump off sides.
Well, and
look at the ball.
I thought Joe Judge was pretty diplomatic about it afterwards because he said, you know, he's a great young player, fun to coach, just made a mistake. Just made, you know, but he, you know, it was costly. Big loss. They win the game.
Cost them
if
a
he
game.
Doesn't jump off sides. And they're 1-1 instead of 0-2, and that would have been a road win. But if you told me yesterday they were going to score 29 points after what I saw in week one, I'm like, no way. There's no way they're going to score 29 points.
Well, they got Daniel Jones involved. Daniel Jones is involved in their run game.
Yeah,
well, that guy can
95
run.
95 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And he had a long touchdown run called back on a ticky-tack holding call.
So he had a total of 95 even without the long run?
Yes. Yes. And this is what, you know, to the Longhorns and Casey Thompson.
Yes.
With a bad offensive line, can they improve? Can they get better? And then can Casey Thompson insert some of
that? Were they both
design
runs, though? The one was, I know, was a quarterback draw for a touchdown.
Yes.
So they're all design runs?
Well, some. It was kind of a mix. You know, there was some bootleg, you know, get everything going one way, he goes back the other.
Right.
And he's
run
faster
or pass.
He's faster than you think.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
Daniel Jones can run.
Remember last year when he pulled his hammy or something where he
got caught?
Got caught.
But yes, I mean, that's what I wonder. I'll be eager to see with the Longhorns is, you know, does Casey Thompson into this lineup? Because last week against Arkansas, it's going to be hard to believe that this could be a good offensive line, but can it improve? And then can Casey Thompson, because you've talked about Bijan Robinson, a great running back can make an offensive line look better than they are.
Yes.
Can Casey Thompson help make an offensive line better?
Yes.
By being more assertive and taking off and running when it's time, when something breaks down?
Yeah, I mean, your coach is going to want you to stay. You're not going to hear stay in the pocket, E, but, you know, but for your offense and your offense's sake and for your offensive line's sake, you know, your quarterback, your coach wants you to look things over and then run as a last resort a lot of times. But when a team needs momentum, as this team needs, if he takes off on first and second down and gets 7 or 8 yards, that, you know, and you get these third and ones instead of third and sevens and all that's what this team needs right now. They really
they
do.
They had to say it. In both games, they won one and lost one, but in both games they put themselves in against the chain situations with penalties and negative plays.
Yeah,
they overcame them in week one, but you're not going to live at third and nine.
Nowhere, home or away or anywhere.
You won't survive in the Big 12.
Yeah, Hudson, even in game one, could have run a lot more. He should have taken off a few times and gathered a momentum for himself. So I think Sark understands. So it'll be, you know, as I said, I think this is a great opportunity for Casey, but it's a great opportunity for this football team. This isn't all about Casey. It's all about getting momentum for the football team, gathering it and getting ready to play in conference games. And I think Sark still understands that in this conference, not the SEC, which, folks, they are not in, they can be in the thick of things in this conference. I really believe that.
And again, from Oklahoma at 1 to Kansas at 10, I've, you know, 2-9, they're all pretty even. Can Texas put themselves in that 2-3-4 category? They got to get better. You wouldn't think it, but what you saw in the Arkansas game, when you go back and watch the tape of the Louisiana game, there's a lot to like in that one, that Texas can be there. So what are you going to get? You've had one solid game, one terrible game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small sample size at this point. Let's hear Steve Sarkisian talk about the same O-line. Does he plan to use the same five guys? Are they going to run that group out there that has struggled, especially on the left side of the offensive line through the first 2 weeks? Here's Sark when asked yesterday after practice about getting some young guys maybe involved behind the starting five.
In the approach of them, you know, working together, playing together, finishing blocks, sustaining those blocks, but again, being a cohesive unit. It's not about one guy. It's about understanding where my help is coming from, understanding the calls internally to deal with, you know, leverage of defensive linemen and leverage of where linebackers are, and then trusting the calls and working together. And, you know, like I said, you know, I think sometimes those issues become glaring after a loss, because I don't necessarily think we didn't have some of those issues versus Louisiana, but sometimes as players, we don't want to you know, we don't quite understand why that would be an issue when we just won a ball game. Well, now all of a sudden you lose a game and they start to become glaring to the players. And so, as I said, you don't always want to have a loss to magnify the issues that we have that we need to rectify. But sometimes that's needed. And I think this week was definitely that case.
Yeah, but you don't have to have a loss, Coach. We've been seeing this for years. Right? It's you're not telling us anything that us as fans haven't seen from individuals on your offensive line. It's not because of a loss. We saw it in the win against Louisiana, but we saw it last year. We saw it.
Well, and that's when we come back. Well, Sark was asked, are any of the young backups, you know, earning some time potentially in practice? Will we see them a little bit against Rice? Also, Sark, on the Rice Owls and what they present to the Longhorns on Saturday or tomorrow at the stadium. 7 o'clock is the kick. 3 o'clock, we go live with our pregame double barrel coverage from Bevo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden at 17th and San Jacinto. Come see all of us. Chad and Bucky will be on Bevo B, and Rod Babers and myself will be over at 17th and San Jac in the air conditioning at the Sangarundi Hall. So come on over and make a point to stop to both the Tail Garden and Bevo Boulevard on your way to the stadium. It's B&E on the Horn. Coming back, we've got a lot to do, hot or not, for the end of the hour. We will hear from Sark on the other issues of this game, and we're previewing the big college and pro football weekend, which is on tap. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Certainly is, and it's Friday. It's going to be a beautiful Friday. Getting warmer, though, as the week goes on. It'll be hot tomorrow, 95, and I was looking at you never know how this show's going to go. You know, we have a game plan, and then things happen, and monkeys come into play. And
good times. Got that monkey.
Because we do have some good stories. Washington beats New York in a good football game last night. Longhorns are front and center with Rice tomorrow. Good weekend of college football. Great weekend of NFL football, it appears. Tom Brady thinks he can play till he's 50. Told Rob Gronkowski that. So who's going to doubt that at this point? He's 44 and playing better than he did when he was 24. Now we're 34. So we've got that. We've also got this, though, Buck, that you're now intrigued by the opportunity of possibly a monkey.
Yeah, I am.
Upon learning that Jeff Banks' wife, Danny, has a pet monkey.
She's not the only one. My neighbor is a guy named Jesse James. I think he was married to Sandra Bullock at one time.
Ooh, there's love Sandy.
There's a thing about his monkey got loose. His same kind of monkey.
Capuchin?
Got loose, was running crazy, and broke into a house and got excited. I don't know what that means.
Ruh-roh. I think you do.
Yeah, I do.
Well, it's a male monkey then.
Yeah, it's a male monkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no. Well, female monkeys should probably get excited too.
Mrs. Banks' monkey is a female, Gia. But okay. So I was looking at,
I thought maybe you'd like a dog. Wouldn't you neuter a monkey?
Here's my concern.
You want a monkey
though,
just going around with a monkey thing?
Let me just read this to you, and then you can decide if a monkey is still a good idea.
Okay.
Because you can find anything online these days. Challenges of having a pet monkey and raising a monkey.
All right. I love a challenge.
It says here, it's not like caring for most pets or most house pets. A monkey can generally live to be anywhere from 20 to 40 years old.
And that means I got to put the monkey in a will?
40 years old. And will need your full commitment throughout its entire life. Monkeys do not grow up and mature like human children. They are, in essence, permanent toddlers. So for the next 40 years, you'll be... Think about having a two-year-old all the time.
Did I like my kids when they were, little? I'm just trying to figure this out. Were they better as little or were they worse as teenagers?
Well, even like your pets. When a dog's a puppy,
yes,
he's a puppy. And he's all over the place chewing on stuff, you know, making a mess. But then he matures. You train it. And the dog just kind of lays around and you go on walks and he becomes a man's best friend. Cat does the same kind of. Well, cats are just cats. But,
yeah,
you can't train a monkey. I guess you could, but you got to be there for it. And yes, in the picture of Mrs. Banks' monkey on her lap in the car, the monkey is wearing a diaper.
Or panties. It's a female. That monkey is wearing pantalones. Those are panties.
Depends, undergarment.
No, it's pantalones. That monkey has panties on.
I'm just telling you.
Because it's a female. So I'm thinking,
Furthermore, a monkey needs a large amount of social interaction. Monkeys deprived of your time and attention will likely develop not only severe behavioral problems, such as screaming and biting, but also psychological issues that can be difficult to remedy.
No, dude, if I'm watching a football game, I don't want a monkey screaming and going nuts. I'm trying to watch the game, monkey. I don't need you. You don't need to tell me what's going on. I can see the game. It's like the texters. I don't need them at my home watching the game. It's good on the text. line, but it's not good to be having. All right. I don't want that. No. I can't. If that monkey makes that kind of sound, that monkey can't live in my house. I hear everything.
Be up in your business all the time. You're gonna.
So if I'm in there with my wife, if I'm having business with my wife, the monkey can come in and.
Sounds like it to me. I don't know. That's why we're going to have to get Danny on the show, and she can talk about having a monkey. Because I think it's fairly new for her.
Oh, she's not had this monkey for a couple of years?
Speak out of turn. I don't know. That'd be my speculation based on a very brief conversation at the tailgate before the game in Fayetteville.
But, is this with a few colons? These conversations?
It was a tailgate party.
Oh, yeah, must have been, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember, I mean, it was fine. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, for crying out loud. But, Buck, the...
Watch the movie Outbreak. Does that monkey need to be vaccinated?
Well, maybe...
From the COVID?
Well, if your neighbor Jesse James has one, then you could get one and they could have play dates and they could keep each other company. You know what I'm saying?
I think Jesse James is kind of crazy, isn't he?
So are you, so it'll work
okay.
out.
Okay, all right.
Somebody said, could you teach it to play golf? And then you could play with the Texas Cheaters.
If I could get that monkey to go in the woods and find my balls. Or fetch some of their other balls that they say, well, I found it. And the monkey comes back and says, no, here's his ball. He's been cheating the whole time.
Here's his actual ball.
Here's his actual ball. Yeah, we need to get her on. We need to just ask her.
Let's get a win over Rice, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's get a couple wins. Let's get a Texas Rice Texas Tech win, and let's go. Let's get her on.
Well, she'll come on and talk about the monkey. Hey, so Buck, the game itself tomorrow, Texas and Rice. We said we would hear from Steve Sarkisian talking about any backups on the O line, because of course Hudson Card didn't play well. He's getting replaced by Casey Thompson in this game, giving Casey a chance that he's earned, according to Sark. And according to reports, the week of practice has gone good for Casey. He's really come with a lot of energy. You know, you kind of can imagine that, Buck, that, you know, he was stung by not winning it, and now he's come back and he's got a new sense of urgency to him.
Sure.
That this is now my time, and he's, according to those at practice, he's been very vocal. He's brought a lot of energy. He's trying to seize this opportunity and understands Texas needs a leader right now on the offensive side of the ball. But here was Sark when asked about offensive linemen. Are there any chance that the young guys that are stepping up and making a case to maybe get some time? Here was Sark yesterday.
Well, you know, I think when you look at the wideout position, you know, obviously we tried to get those guys in there a little bit more last week with Marcus Washington and Cavante Dixon. And obviously Dixon made a couple nice plays. But as I've impressed upon him this week as well, it's, you know, to earn the playing time, you have to earn not just what you do on game day, you earn it throughout the week in the way you practice, the way you prepare. So hopefully that resonates, and I think they've had a good week of work. So that's just kind of one example on that front where hopefully we can get a few more guys going.
All right, and then that was specifically on somebody. It was Kirk Bowles that asked any backups, and he went directly to the wide receivers. He did not.
For sure.
And on the offensive line, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think actions will speak louder than words on this. You know, we haven't heard from the coordinators. I mean, obviously each coach has his own way. With Tom Herman, we used to be able to hear from the offensive and defensive coordinator every week. That was the case under Charlie Strong, too. But apparently not the case with Sark, that we're not going to get Kyle Flood and, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski each week. But you wonder what their week of practice has been. You know it's been intense. You've been a part of these when
For
you
sure.
get humbled.
Yes.
It's very intense and understanding of we got to get this thing turned around. So I would expect tomorrow night maybe to see some younger offensive linemen earlier in the game just to see where this goes. And as you said, a wide receiver. Could we say you've talked about that position. It was a position of question coming into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Whittington, we think, is a real good player if he can stay consistent. And I think, you know, we pick our grande performers of the game, each pregame, Rod and I. I think I'm leaning towards putting Xavier Worthy in there for me, because I think Xavier, watching him live for 2 weeks, I think he's ready. If the one thing I think Casey Thompson does better than Hudson for sure is throw a better deep ball, and he'll take those shots down the field. Hudson has been off on his deep throws. I think there's been chances to hit Xavier Worthy on some deep throws, and I think he's going to have at least one big play, maybe two in this Rice game. Because they're going to be focused defensively on Jordan Whittington. You kind of know that. Ever since that big first game, teams are going to make you beat them with somebody else. What, number four? And I think you may see Xavier Worthy with a couple of big shots in this game against the Rice.
I'm going to see a lot of guys doing a lot of things against Rice.
Well, number eight
should happen.
Number eight, I know he's a freshman. I know his stats don't show up, but being at the games twice, I think he runs good routes. I think he's creating opportunities there. But I think this could be the game where he starts to see some of those. We'll see. And they also have Jared Wiley back at tight end in this game. They're their best receiving threat there. Does he get into the game? Here's Sark on Rice. Asked about the Owls and what challenges they present coming in as an 0-2 football team. But Sark says, beware. Computer froze?
Yeah. See? We got a little freezing.
Right on time.
Yeah.
Right on time. Can we try it again, Zay? Or are we still frozen? Still frozen. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I expect a lot of guys to really play well. I expect the offensive line guys to play lower. And once it's still a process, even though we've seen it, Sark will tell us that, you know, when a loss comes, that, you know, you see these things more. No, we've seen these things for 2 years. But I would guarantee you, with a new head coach who's been in their rear end and an offensive line coach that coached at Alabama, what he saw against Arkansas, there's a lot of that's not going to happen with just the way he's going to coach them up this week against a team like Rice. Now, they may come to play against a really, really good team again, but let's just get rid of them for Rice. How about that? Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you got to start somewhere, right?
That's who your opponent is.
I mean, Sark, your opponent's you at this point for Texas.
Yes.
And that will go for Texas Tech, too, because mm-hmm.
I agree.
Each player has to improve, and the technique, the fundamentals.
You're right.
Their assignment. If the team's going to
You
improve,
are your opponent right now.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the opponent, here is Sark. Our computer has unfrozen.
Okay.
And here's Sark on the Rice Owls.
I think this is a very well-coached football team. I think Coach Blumgren, I've known him for quite some time, his days back at Stanford. This staff in on offense and defense in particular, they're real game planners, and they try to game plan what you do and the personnel that you have, and they try to exploit it. And so from a concerning standpoint is making sure, you know, we're covering our bases not to get exploited, whether it's on a big play offensively, a pressure package from the defense, which they have them all. They do a great job with all their different pressure patterns on third down, especially. They've got all the coverages. They can spin coverages. They can play man. They play too high, split safety. They do it all. And it varies from week to week because these guys really try to game plan you, and they try to put their best players in position to be successful. So that part's the biggest concern for me.
All right, and their quarterback that we'll see tomorrow is Luke McCaffrey. You know the last name.
His brother, I do.
His brother Christian plays quarterback or running back at Carolina pretty well for the Panthers.
Yeah, dude, I think they have two quarterbacks at like 175 pounds.
Yeah, they're both little. Willie Green and Luke McCaffrey are the two quarterbacks. They pretty much split time this year.
Right.
And then,
these aren't big stand-in-the-pocket guys who can stand in there or take off and really run.
Sure.
This defense should engulf these guys and really have a really, really good game. But once again, I'm not underestimating Rice because I was a part of a team that beat Oklahoma the week before and then went down in 1995 on a Sunday night on national TV, the only game there in a monsoon, and just got beat by Rice.
You guys had a bit of a quarterback controversy going on at the time.
We had more than a bit of a controversy. Hey, can you get these guys going, guy? And it was hard as hell because there were a lot of guys in that locker room that were thinking about not even coming out. There were a lot of guys at that practice that week that didn't really, really.
Mutiny.
It was hard.
Remember that stunning loss at Rice on a rainy Sunday night came the week after Texas OU.
Like, yes.
So it was after the emotions of the Texas OU game.
Absolutely.
And
James Brown was started in that game.
Yeah. So
it was a true. I'd never been around one of those. Well, with John, I'd been around a couple of
mutinies.
Close mutinies, but not all the way, not like that game. So,
and it was ugly. Now, this one, I don't think there's any mutiny brewing behind the quarterbacks. I just think they have to play better. And let's keep this in mind with Rice. I mean, they're 0-2, and since building an early 10-0 lead in Fayetteville over Arkansas in week one, they've scored 14 points in their last six quarters. Their offense struggles. This should be a game where Pete Kwiatkowski's defense gets well.
Yes.
Gets after it, and then allows the offense to come along and let
kids. And a lot of kids play.
Exactly.
Like you said, a lot of offensive, there should be some offensive linemen get a chance to go in there
and
get some experience.
Willie Green and Luke McCaffrey, your quarterbacks for the Rice Owls. As Sark said, these are smart kids. They go to Rice, so they try to utilize them in a lot of different packages. They'll be in a power look one, play. Then they'll be in a five wide spread. They'll do a lot of different things. But
they're
going to
go
time,
gimmicky. You can't let a gimmick get behind you on defense.
Well, they can't line up and go head to head with a team like Texas.
No,
they did with Arkansas for 2.5 quarters.
Right.
And so can't
take
it away.
That Arkansas team may have been looking forward to playing Texas.
Sure they were. That was a scrimmage for them as far as showing what they were going to show. They wanted Texas to be the first game for them. And they handled their business and got the win. But this is a Texas opportunity to get well. We'll talk about it with you. We'll hit the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show coming up. Also on our next hour, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, makes his 5 picks of the week. We'll make ours as well as we roll forward. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstead Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstead Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not, NFL is hot. Gosh, they've had 4 primetime games now. 3 of them have ended on the game's final play. That's pretty good. Tampa Bay last Thursday night, New York Giants, Washington last night, and of course, the overtime game, Raiders beat the Ravens on Monday night. Pretty good stuff in the NFL. Not hot, Buck. So I had to, you play fantasy football, you have to debate between things. Zay, I took Washington's football team defense last night.
Oh, me too, E.
Score me 4 lousy points against that offensive line. Hey, Chase Young, can you strip somebody? Can you sack somebody? Can you do something?
Can you not get that personal foul early in the game?
Come on.
That cost?
Oh, yo, the Washington penalties extended like 6 drives.
Defense means a lot in my league. I got negative points for putting that defense up.
And I picked up Arizona's defense after watching the Cardinals play Tennessee, thinking that's legit right there. Like, they can really play on defense with J.J. Watt now and Chandler Jones and, the linebackers that you love.
Yes.
And I didn't start them because I felt like the matchup was better. I'm looking at the Giants going, they're a wreck. They don't have Saquon 100%, no Evan Ingram, and no.
And they lose their lineman early, and they still couldn't stop them.
Come on, Rivera. Come on, Ron, bring me something. But that's okay. Fantasy football's fun. But the NFL has been really good so far. Isaiah Collier is our producer. Zay, can we play this real quick? And then you have a question for us. But I wanted to play it because on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers digital website yesterday, they do a show called Tommy and Gronky, or Gronky and Tommy. And it's Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, the longtime buddies, sitting in lawn chairs with sunglasses on in front of the facility. And got a little baby pool there. And essentially Gronk interviews Brady and then vice versa. And here was a little go back and forth between Gronky and Tommy.
Can Tom Brady play until 50 years old?
Wow. Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah, 50.
50.
You're 44, that's 6 more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state, so I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
There you go. You got 6 more years of Tom Brady. It's like, will the groundhog see his shadow?
Yeah.
6 more years of Tom.
He's going to get tired before that.
That is a funny little bit that they do.
Yeah.
They're goofy. So Tom Brady, Tom going third person on himself. I like that.
Sure.
I like that. By the way, they're wearing these hideous, big, obnoxious glasses.
Oh, those sunglasses are terrible looking.
Look like they're going snow skiing or something. Tom's got a big floppy hat on. It's pretty funny. Zay, what do you have for us in Hot or Not?
Good looking out, E. The 4-letter network had a muck up on Wednesday when
ESPN?
ESPN, yes.
Okay.
When they were trying to promote their latest 30 for 30, Once Upon a Time in Queens, talking about the 86 Mets. And the highlight of this documentary is Lenny Dykstra, who I think is still on the blow from 86 because he is absolutely out of control. I pulled up why ESPN had to apologize for their promo because it was Lenny cursing the whole time, and I had to do some serious editing. Y'all check it out.
Come flying into that f***ing scoop. I threw a f***ing rocket. Big collision, by the way. Lattery's trying to go to third. Gibbons gets up, spins, I don't know what, throws the f***ing ball.
Out in third, the Mets win it 6-5.
Out. Big. Way to go. Over. No moth. Next thing you know, high five, dude.
Double play. Just your routine.
Yeah, he sounds high right there.
Oh, he looks high the whole time.
I thought Lenny had chilled out. I know he'd had some bad times. Lenny's had a couple bad episodes, whether it's with...
Well, he went to jail.
He went to jail, and yes. I thought he you know, he got out of that deal, and I know he's had some drug abuse, but I thought he had cleaned up his act. But right there, it sounds like he's still, it's still like he's struggling a little bit with some stuff.
Yes, he is. Recently, I saw a video. He went to Twitter. Remember when Javi Baez and Lindor and those guys were putting their thumbs down to the fans because they were getting booed? Lenny Dykstra, he talked about a F-bomb-filled tirade. He went on to social media and ripped those guys for fans get the bait. They pay your salary. They pay your salary. And he went crazy. But, yes, I mean, he's not well.
That dude was a hell of a player. Oh, boy. He jumped on a bulldog.
Well, it's funny because he went on the tirade to defend the fans and their right to boo and ripped Javi Baez. And he's like, who is this Javi Baez? And Kirk Schilling retweeted that and said, now you see why we got in about six fights that season. And we it might have been Schilling, yeah, because he talked about how nobody messed with us because Lenny would fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. And he was
The group right there. I mean, he was a little guy, he's right.
Yeah, I've gotten into it now, and it's good. But he did go to jail for 6.5 months for theft auto, drug possession, and an unrelated case of indecent exposure for Madman Lenny.
Dang, Lenny.
Well, Schilling was talking about when they were on the Phillies. Remember when he went to the Phillies after the Mets? And
that's
where, and they won. And he said, man, we got into like six fights in one season. No one would mess with us. Because the Phillies, they had that too. They had Dutch Dalton and they had Schilling and they had Nails when they got to the Phillies. But with the Mets, man, what a mess. But yes, ESPN continued to have to apologize because that promo probably shouldn't have aired.
No.
Too many Fs. And they didn't do a very good job of, you know, editing them like Zay did.
Seriously, you could hear it from them, right?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
It says that Lenny is clean, guys. That is the effect of all of the drugs. That's true.
Could be true. You're right.
Somebody says that Joe Namath struggling.
Yeah, that could be.
We appreciate that. Good job, Zay. Hot or not, we roll forward. We're making picks next hour. If you need them, Lee Sterling's got them. We'll have our favorite picks as well on the college and pro football weekend. We'll reset your headlines. What a finish last night in the NFL. Longhorns, going to turn the page. Here come the Rice Owls. We'll continue to preview. It's Vandy on the Horn.